And to get us started, I'm going to read verses 5 through 10 of Luke chapter 1. Beginning in verse 5, Luke writes and says, "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in at the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering." Let's pray together. Father, help me this morning to share the word that I believe you've put on my heart. I trust the Holy Spirit to speak to all of us in these moments together, to encourage us, each one on our own personal spiritual journeys. I bless you, Father, for what you're going to say and do here this morning. And again, Father, I'm trusting that you're going to minister life to every soul in this room. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So this morning, as you can see, the title of our message is Life Lessons from Zacharias. Zacharias. You say, you might say, well, what does that have to do with Christmas? Well, let me just share very quickly about that. Let me tie this into the Christmas story, because this is actually Luke's beginning of the telling of the Christmas story here in Luke chapter 1. Most of you would remember that in the Old Testament, it prophesied that before Messiah came, there would be a forerunner, someone who would come and announce that the Messiah is here, that he's on the way, that he's ready to be revealed. We know that to be John the Baptist, of course. And so the prophecy of the forerunner is the beginning, actually, of the story of the birth of Jesus. I want to share about Zechariah today, and I want to look at his life, and I want to learn some lessons that we can from his life. And here's what I want you to see. I want you to be asking yourself this question through this message today. I want you to see this. Zechariah played his part in the coming of Jesus. Okay? Zechariah played his part in the coming of Jesus. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I playing my part in the coming of Jesus? Okay? Because just like Zechariah, we all have a part. Now, it doesn't look like Zechariah is hardly at all tied to the birth of Jesus. But what he does paves the way for the coming of the Son of God. And God can use us in a multitude of ways that maybe don't even look like we're doing gospel ministry, we're doing kingdom business. And yet God can use what we're doing to further the kingdom of God. For example, we just talked about the Quranics going to Mexico. You don't have to go to Mexico to preach the gospel to the people in Mexico, but you know what you can do? You can give an offering to help them get there and do what they need to do. And in doing so, you're playing your part in the coming of Jesus to those people. So I want to look at Zacharias for a few moments this morning. And again, let me just go back and so we know exactly what it is we're talking about here. Again, in the Old Testament, God promises a Savior. He promises a Messiah. But he also would say, before Messiah comes, there will come a forerunner to announce his coming and, in the words of Scripture, make the way ready for the coming of the Lord. To make the way ready for the coming of the Lord. And so, by the way, I was thinking about this morning. You know, there have been a lot of people over the years who have claimed to be the Messiah, the second coming of Jesus. Or whatever, you know. Messiah has come. And as I was thinking about it this morning, I've often thought, if these people claim to be the Messiah, where was their forerunner? And wouldn't that be just a simple question to ask them? If you really are the Messiah, where was your forerunner? And when they don't have one, that obviously proves they're not really the Messiah. How many of you know, by the way, you and I today have a forerunner ministry? Won't you hear this? Just like John the Baptist announced to the people of his generation that Messiah is coming, you and I are to be announcing to our generation, obviously Messiah has come, his name is Jesus, but we're also supposed to be announcing to them, Messiah is coming again. Jesus is coming back, and you need to be ready for him when he does. And in that sense, we have the same kind of John the Baptist ministry, if you will, to be announcing the coming of the Messiah. We have a forerunner ministry to prepare the way of the Lord. But this morning I want to focus, and before my time gets away, I want to focus on Zechariah this morning and see what we can learn from this man, because there's some life lessons that I believe that we can learn to apply to our lives as Christians in this journey. First of all, we read here in the fifth verse that Zechariah is a priest. That means he's of the tribe of Levi. And it also means that twice a year, 1 week every 6 months, he's going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to go to the temple, and he's going to serve the Lord and carry out his duties in the temple for that week. This is his responsibility as a priest of the Lord. And by the way, there are probably 15 to 18,000 priests in those days, divided up into 24 groups. So you're looking at 600 to 700 priests coming at a time to the temple in order to serve the Lord there. Second thing I want us to see here is in verse 7. I want to skip verse 6. I'll come back to that in just a moment. I want you to see in verse 7 that Zechariah and Elizabeth are childless. She's barren, and it appears that they are getting beyond that age when they would be able to give children, have children. No doubt they've prayed many times to have a child, and they've asked the Lord to bring them a child. Learn this lesson as well from Zechariah. Zechariah has continued to serve the Lord even though he didn't get what he wanted from the Lord at the time that he wanted it. How many of you know that you and I live in an instantaneous generation? We want everything immediately. We don't want to wait for anything. I blame it on the Carnation Corporation. They came up with instant breakfast. You remember that years ago? Powder in milk, stir it up. You've got a delicious drink that has all of the nutrition of a full breakfast. And then microwaves come along, and we can pop food in there, and in a second it's heated, and we can go, and off we go. And everything is instant. We turn our TVs on, and we get, unless you got YouTube TV, but you turn your TV on, and you get instant picture. You know, everything is instant for us, and we want everything in an instant. And we expect things to come to us that way. But God doesn't work that way. God doesn't work on our timetable. God works on his own timetable. And even though for years, Zechariah and Elizabeth no doubt have been praying about a child, the child has still not come. But watch this about Zechariah. Even though he didn't get what he wanted right away, he didn't quit on God. He probably didn't give up on prayer. He probably prayed that prayer for years and years and years, praying for a child. In fact, did you know that's one of the secrets to prayer? One of the secrets to prayer is being persistent in prayer. Jesus would actually teach a parable about being persistent in prayer, about a man who comes to an unjust judge, and he just knocks on his door, knocks on his door, and knocks on his door until that unjust judge finally gives him what he's asking for. And Jesus isn't comparing himself to an unjust judge by any means, but what he is teaching us is just as that individual was persistent to get what they wanted, you and I need to be persistent in prayer. There's a scripture in Matthew chapter 7, I believe it's verse 7, where Jesus says, ask and it'll be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be opened. Did you know that literally that verse of scripture says, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. He's talking about being persistent. He's talking about never quitting, never backing off, never letting go of what you believe God has promised to give to you. And if we are persistent, and if we will endure the wait, isn't that the hardest thing about life? And just about anything that we do, the wait. My son has been waiting on a job for months. He was told when he interviewed for the job, they wanted him for the job. And then you have to go through all this background stuff in order to get the job. And they are just waiting and waiting. I told him recently, I said, you know, if they had found anything, they would have stopped the search and let you know that you were disqualified. So the fact that they haven't told you anything yet is probably a good thing. It means they're still looking, but they haven't denied you. I also told him it's probably not him that they're going to deny anything about. It's the rest of the family that is looking in, that they're looking into, where they're probably going to find something that would deny anything. But anyway. But the waiting is the hard time. But Zechariah never quit, and he never forsook God, and he never gave up, even in the wait. He waited and waited and waited. And I suppose if you were to talk to Zacharias and Elizabeth, they would say something like this. You know, life didn't go exactly like we thought it was going to go. I'm sure they expected at a young age to have children when they had the energy to raise those children and raise those children and have their family. And yet here they are now. They've gotten older. She's barren. Barrenness, by the way, in this day, I'll talk about this in a minute too. Barrenness was in this generation, was seen as a curse. And it was generally thought if you were barren in these days, you'd done something wrong and God was not allowing you to have children. We'll talk about that in a minute. But life didn't go the way they thought it would. I suspect if I could get alone with each one of you and just ask you personally, has your life gone the way you thought it would? I guarantee every one of us will say, you know what? It didn't. It didn't. I had my plans, but it didn't work out that way. And that's life, isn't it? Somebody said, life is what happens while you're making plans. It's true. And our lives seldom go the way we think they're going to go. I certainly had no intention of being crippled at 23 years of age and living my life this way. Life doesn't go the way we think it's going to go. For some people, it's better. For most, it's probably not. Life doesn't go the way that we think it's going to go. Sometimes there are, excuse me, sometimes there are negative turns to life. There are losses and there are tragedies. There are things that happen in our homes, things that happen in our businesses, things that happen in our bodies. Life doesn't go the way we think it should go. James actually warns us about holding too tightly to the plans that we made. James tells us in the 4th chapter, you say we're going to go here, you say you're going to go there. You better back off on what you're saying you're going to be doing because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. So he's telling us there, you know, he's not saying there's anything wrong with making plans, but what he's telling us there is if you make plans, hold them loosely, because life probably won't go the way you thought it would go. God's plan for Zechariah and Elizabeth surely wasn't the kind of life that they thought they were going to live. But again, I want you to see the picture, and this is the primary picture I want to paint of Zacharias today. Zacharias is a man who has an enduring spirit, an enduring heart. It doesn't matter what happens outwardly. As far as his relationship with God is concerned, there is nothing that can happen outwardly that's going to change his walk with God. Over all of these years, praying a prayer that's never been answered, he continues to be faithful to the Lord. And he doesn't turn away from God. He just keeps being faithful. He just keeps loving God. He just keeps serving the Lord and trusting in him. And though their prayer wasn't answered, yet they persisted. The message to you and I is, don't quit on God. I wished I could tell you how many people we've ministered to over the years, particularly in a little church like this where we believe in prayer and we believe in healings and we believe in miracles and we believe God can do anything. Obviously, we don't dictate when and how God does anything, but it's God who does all of those things. And how many people have we seen over the years who have come in and been excited about church and excited about God and excited about what God could do, and then nothing happened in their lives? And they get discouraged. And they quit. And they walk away from God. Walk away from the church. And go back to the world where they came from. The message to you and I is to have an enduring spirit. Don't quit. To stand by and wait for God and see what God would do. Is it possible? Listen. God's plan for Zacharias and Elizabeth, it was for them to have children. It just wasn't in the way that they thought. And they had to wait a little longer for it. But listen, what God had for them was actually bigger than anything they had in mind. They were just looking for a son. They wound up with a prophet of God whom Jesus said, listen to this, Jesus would say of John the Baptist, Jesus would say, of all people born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. That's the child that God was holding for Zacharias and Elizabeth. His plan was bigger than their plan. And could it be that sometimes God's delay in our lives is because God has something so far bigger than us that like Zacharias, we doubt it when God tells us about it? Quickly, I'm getting behind already. Verse 6. It tells us a little something about the nature of Zacharias in verse 6. It says that he was righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly. He was righteous and he was blameless. That tells us a couple of things about Zacharias. It tells us when it says he's righteous, the Bible tells us that righteousness is by faith. So when it says that he's a righteous man, it tells us he's a man of faith. This is a man who believes in God and trusts the Lord with his life. It also tells us that the desire of his heart is to always do what's right by God. Now, he's not a perfect person. That's why he goes on to say he's both righteous and blameless. Blameless means this, as I understand it. Blameless means you're not perfect. You make mistakes. You do things that are wrong. But when you do things that are wrong, you own it and you admit it. And you confess it and you repent of it and you ask forgiveness for it and you try to make amends wherever possible. That's what it means to be blameless. To be blameless means there's nothing in a person's life that you can hold over them because they continue to do something that's wrong. We all do things that's wrong. But the question is not, what have we done? The real question is, what are we going to do next? I'll share more about that in just a moment as well. And so this is the man that we're talking about today, blameless and righteous in the sight of God, a man who is clearly a man of integrity where the Lord is concerned, wants to live his life to be pleasing to the Lord. By the way, what we're looking at here is the kind of person. When we're looking at Zechariah and studying these scriptures, what we're looking for and what we're looking at is the kind of person that will experience the favor of God and the blessing of God in their life. And this is what I'm describing to you here. The kind of person that God will use. The kind of person that will experience his favor. The kind of person that will see the miracles is the kind of person that is righteous and blameless in God's sight. This is the kind of person. It tells me this. Listen. Tells me this. If you and I want God involved in our lives, then we need to get involved in his life. And we need to get involved doing his will. Okay? This is the kind of person that God is looking for, that the Lord wants to bless. I mentioned the fact just a moment ago that Elizabeth is barren, and how in this day and time and culture that was seen by many people as a curse. The fact that Zechariah is a man of integrity is demonstrated to us in the fact that they are still married. Let me explain that. In Jesus' day, there were a couple of different beliefs on the whole issue of divorce. One was a fairly conservative perspective that said you can only get divorced in the case of infidelity and adultery. But then there was a more liberal interpretation of scriptures that basically says if your wife does anything to displease you, you can divorce her. Anything that she does, and remember again that women didn't have the kind of rights that they do in our day and time, and the rights were primarily with the men. But one interpretation was if a woman does anything to if your wife does anything to displease you, you can divorce her for whatever she's done. Also in this day and time, it was expected that a wife would give her husband children. Now here she is, barren, maybe seen by a lot of people as having done something wrong and under a curse, some kind of wickedness in her life, that God is withholding children. And because of that, she's not been able to please her husband and to give him the children that he wants. She's disappointed her husband. By law, at least one view of it, he has the right to divorce her. He chooses not to. He chooses to stay with her, very much like Joseph and Mary, despite the perspective of the community and the people around them. They chose to stay together. And so it is that Zechariah makes that same decision to stay with his wife. Thank God for people who stand by you and don't bail on you, even when you might disappoint them. In verses 8 through 10, Zechariah kind of wins the lottery in these verses of scripture. There's like 700 priests that will come at a time to the temple. And they cast lots to see each day who's going to burn the incense before God. This is worship. Incense is a picture of worship and prayer to the Lord. And to be chosen by lot is a very high honor, as you might imagine. If there are 700 priests there, and there's only 7 days to burn incense, your odds are not very good at being chosen, right? And the fact of the matter is, most of the priests would never be chosen to burn incense in the temple. So this is a very, very high honor to be chosen to do this. It's a once in a lifetime, if that, And of course, we know that this is not a coincidence that he's chosen. This is providential. This is God moving in his life in order to orchestrate what God wants to do to bring forth the forerunner and then the Christ himself. And so all of this is God moving in their lives. And so he is chosen to burn incense. The last verse that we read there talks about the group of people that are outside of the temple, waiting to see the smoke. Don't know if any of you are Catholic or any of you know anything about Catholicism and their history. When they choose a new pope, there's always the signal that a new pope has been chosen is that smoke will come out of the chimney wherever the building is where they're doing this kind of stuff. And this is how you know that the new pope has been chosen. Well, these people would be outside while the priest is inside the temple burning incense. When they see the smoke going up out of the temple, they know that the incense is being burnt and the prayers are being offered. And they would bow down to the ground outside of the temple as the incense is being offered. And they would offer their prayers as the priest on the inside is offering his prayers. Now, they have no idea what's going on the inside, but let's read about it in verse 11 through 17, and let's see what it was that Zacharias has to deal with inside the temple that day. It tells us in verse 11, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias. For your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you will give him the name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The angel of the Lord shows up. You have to understand, it's been about 400 years since God has spoken to his people. Theologians call it the 400 silent years from the end of Malachi at the end of the Old Testament to this day. God hasn't spoken directly to a person in 400 years. All of a sudden an angel shows up in the temple where Zacharias is burning the incense in there. And he's terrified by what he sees. I don't know exactly what he knows. I think he probably knows a whole lot. I think he knows enough to know that when an angel shows up, it's usually not good news. When angels showed up in the Old Testament, it typically had to do with the judgment of God. And so when the angel shows up, he's terrified at what he sees. And the angel tells him, hey, slow down, dude. It's good. I've got good news for you. Your petition has been heard. Their persistence in prayer has paid off. And God has heard and is going to answer their prayer. Only it's been so long. And he has continued to be faithful to the Lord through all of this and continued to serve the Lord through all of this. But when you read the scripture, it's pretty apparent that he's kind of given up hope by now. It's been so long and I am so old. My wife is barren and this is not going to happen. And the angel assures him that God has not forgotten him. God has not forgotten. His good news to Zechariah is good news on two fronts. Number one, God has not forgotten Israel. God had promised for centuries before this time that he would send a Messiah and a Savior. And they've waited all this time, and God has finally chosen to answer. God has not forgotten Israel. But it's not just Israel. It's Zacharias and Elizabeth as well. God has not forgotten Zacharias and Elizabeth. Even after many decades of praying for a child, God has not forgotten them. He didn't forget Israel. He didn't forget Zacharias and Elizabeth. And brother and sister, God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows what your needs are. He knows what He has promised you. And you may be waiting just as these people were waiting for God to do something in your life. But I promise you, through the waiting, God has not forgotten you. Not coincidentally, the name Zacharias means God remembers. God remembers. And on this day, the angel of the Lord showed up to let him know that God remembers his petition. And it was about to be answered in his life. God hasn't forgotten us. And he will not fail us. And he will not forsake us. And boy, did he come through in a bigger way than Zacharias and Elizabeth ever imagined. With a prophet of God, born of a woman. Let me read on verses 18. I've got to finish this real quickly. Zacharias is a man of God who has an enduring spirit, who serves God faithfully. And yet when the message comes that his wife is going to finally give him a son, Zacharias can't believe his ears. Have you ever heard good news that was so good, in fact, too good to be true, and yet it was true? Have you ever prayed for something? And you prayed for something and suddenly when it happens, you couldn't believe it happened. This is where these people are. This is where Zacharias is. For when the angel says, God has not forgotten you, your petition has been heard, Zacharias responds to the angel, how will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. The angel answered and said to her, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. The people were waiting for Zacharias and wondering at the delay in the temple, but when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. When the days of his priestly service were ended. I love this. Look at this. All of this is happening to them. Listen, the birth of John the Baptist is drenched in the supernatural just like the birth of Jesus is. Angels are showing up. Miracles are going to happen. God is speaking his word. He hasn't in 400 years. Supernatural things are happening all over the place. Zechariah can't believe it. And so his mouth is shut for 9 months. Every wife's dream. The husband that can't speak for 9 months. But I love this, verse 23. When the days of his priestly service were ended. Listen, with all of this stuff going on, he never stops serving the Lord. Just takes care of business day to day and does what God has called him to do. He has an enduring spirit. And he won't give up. And he won't quit. And he won't be deterred. And he won't be turned away. How many of you know, by the way, that the devil wants to use the delay to try to get you to turn away from the Lord? The delay is given to you for the timing of the Lord, but it's also given to us as an opportunity to prove our faithfulness and our enduring spirit. But the devil wants to use that delay to say to you, God has forgotten you. God's not going to answer your prayer. God doesn't care about you. God's not listening to you. And any other lie he can tell you to get you to turn away from the Lord. And God is saying to us today, when we've heard from God, we need to stand firm in what God has spoken to our heart and not turn away in unbelief, but continue to follow the word of the Lord and trust God to fulfill it in his season in our lives, however long it may take. Have an enduring spirit and receive what God wants to give you. But Zechariah stumbles. Zechariah stumbles in his faith and he doubts God. James tells us we all stumble in many ways. Like Zechariah, probably all of us have stumbled at the promise of God. Could it be that God could do this in my life? Could it be that God could do this extraordinary thing? Is it possible God would actually do that for me? How many of you have prayed? How many of you have probably said, at least to yourself, if not to somebody else, oh, God may do it for somebody else, but God would never do that for me. We stumble in our faith. We struggle to believe the promise of God. We struggle to believe that we are who God says we are. We struggle to believe our value in the sight of God. And we stumble in our faith. We stumble in our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Opportunities come. Somebody has a need in their life. Man, a need is an opportunity to preach. I don't care who you are or what the need is. A need is an open door to talk about Jesus. Because he's the answer to every need. And any time there's an opportunity to pray, there's an opportunity to witness. But how many times do we take it? More often, don't we typically say, God bless you, brother, we'll pray for you. And walk away and probably forget. We struggle and we stumble in our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We stumble to live up to the standard of Christianity, which, by the way, is perfection. God says, you shall be perfect because I'm perfect. And I know that means maturity. I know that means we're going to grow up. I know that we're going to be more like Jesus every day. But we struggle with that thought. Most of us, when we hear that phrase, we're going to be like Jesus. Most of us religiously, instantaneously think, there's no way I could ever be like Jesus. It's the purpose and the will of God for you to be like Jesus. We struggle and we stumble. We stumble in the way that we live our lives. We say things that are offensive. We do things that are hurtful. Proverbs 24:16 says, the righteous man falls seven times. The righteous man falls seven times. We are human and we stumble and we fall and we fail. And if we're honest, we fail God constantly. I thank God for the scripture in Psalm 78 verse 39 where it says, God remembers that we are but flesh. This is who we are. We're frail. We're fallible. We're weak. We're sinful. We're human. Zechariah stumbled, but Zechariah got back up. Look at verse 57. We've got to close this real quickly today. Look all the way down, verse 57. In between there is the story of the angel going to Mary, announcing to her, her going to visit Zechariah and Elizabeth, the Magnificat, Mary's song of praise to the Lord, verses 46 to 56. And now the time comes for John to be born. It says in verse 57, the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth. She gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it happened that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. But his mother answered and said, "No, indeed, but he shall be called John," which means gracious, by the way. Boy, that'll preach. That's the last prophet of the Old Testament, John the Baptist, introduces the age of grace. His name means gracious. Praise God. "No, indeed, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "There's no one among your relatives who's called by that name. Why are you going to call him John?" They made signs to his father as to what he wanted to call him. And Zacharias asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, "His name is John." Emphatic, no question, no doubt, the angel said, "It's John, and I've been quiet long enough. This boy's name is going to be John." And when he said that, his mouth was opened, and he began to praise and worship the Lord. My last point, let me give it to you real quickly. I shared it briefly earlier. Just let me give it to you real quickly now. We all stumble. We all make mistakes. Zacharias stumbled in his faith. So the question, brother and sister, is never, are we going to stumble? The answer to that question is yes, we're going to. But here's what I want you to see. Real character is not in just what we do. Real character is displayed in what we do next. What we do next. Are you going to stumble? Yeah. We're all going to stumble. But what you do after that is what's really going to prove the character of your heart. Who you really are. Are you going to make excuses? Are you going to blame somebody else? Are you going to justify what you did? Or are you going to own it? You're going to admit it. You're going to take responsibility for it. You're going to make amends for it. Who you are, brothers, just like John, just like Zacharias, he stumbled, but he came back to faith. And he declared his son would be called John. What you do next is what proves the real character of your heart. We need to have an enduring spirit. We need to have a spirit that says, "I will not quit. I will not back off. I will not give up. I will not quit on God or people. I will keep doing what God has called me to do. Whether I see anything happening or not, I will never say no to God." We need to have Zacharias's enduring spirit. One last scripture real quickly says this. Hebrews 10 verse 36. Let me start in 35. "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." So it was for Zacharias. So it can be for you and I if we have a spirit that will endure. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the lessons that we learned from the life of Zacharias today. A righteous man. A blameless man. A man of faith. A man of integrity. A man of endurance, a man who would never give up, who would never quit, who would never walk away from serving you. This, Father, we see today is the picture of the person that you show your favor to and shower your blessings on. May we too have just such a spirit. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.